Attention, South Dakota residents. Everything is fine. Everything is beautiful. Go back to your homes. Go back to your jobs. Trust in the authority.
Work, eat, stay asleep. Work, eat, stay asleep. Work, eat, stay asleep. Work, eat, stay asleep.
Continue docile and distracted during times of uncertainty. This is the South Dakota Department of Propaganda Podcast.
Let's listen in.
South Dakota Republican Governor Kristi Noem, in a recent interview, suggested that President Joe Biden's dog, Commander, who has been involved in several biting incidents, should have been put down.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre hit back, calling Noem's comments disturbing and absurd. Jean-Pierre also clarified that Commander is currently living with family in Delaware.
Noem has come under fire for her comments about Commander and for admitting in her upcoming book that she killed her own 14-month-old dog, Cricket.
When questioned if she's trying to appear tough or gear up for VP candidacy, Noem turned the focus back to Commander's biting incidents.
She asked how many people need to be attacked before action is taken.
I'm going to go, maybe not lying to the American people. And I think this is important to talk about because the book's called No Going Back, The Truth on What's Wrong with Politics. And I think part of the problem with politics today is that politicians aren't honest with the American people. If you asked me a month ago, who's at the top of the list to run with Donald Trump, I would have said your name. If you asked me that same question this morning, I don't even think you're on the list.
Really?
So my question for you, yes, really, and it's because of things that have come out in this book, like your claims that you met Kim Jong-un, and then over the last week,
I've been to the DMZ, I've been to the area.
Did you stare down Kim Jong-un? Governor, 1 second, I will give you an opportunity to respond. I just want to get this out there. So here's the quote from the book. You say that, I remember when I met North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. I'm sure he underestimated me, having no clue about my experience staring down little tyrants. Governor, that never happened, did
it? What I have said in the book is that when I became aware of the content that we had, it changed. And that's the way that it is. So I should not have put that anecdote in the book. I'm not going to talk about my meetings.
But an anecdote indicates that it happened,
right? I'm not going to talk about my conversations with world leaders. I've been involved in policy for 30 years. For 30 years, I've been traveling the world, talking to world leaders. And that is a conversation that I'm not going to have in this book. I've answered that in interviews already. I've been very forthright, and I think that a typical politician wouldn't be that honest. As soon as it became to my attention, I asked for the content to be changed, and it has been.
Governor, I'm not asking you about the details of this alleged meeting. I'm asking if the meeting actually happened. I don't think it did, and I think if it did, you'd be able to confirm for me that, yes, it did, and here's when it happened. It happened, say, at such and such a date or a month, or you don't have to be specific.
I'm not going to talk about my conversations.
You're going to continue to have to answer this question then.
I don't think so, because the average American citizen is more worried about the border. They're more worried about what we see in a White House and a president that since January has gone out there and misled the American people over 150 times, and nobody pushes him on what he says, that he was imprisoned with Nelson Mandela, that he drove an 18-wheeler, that his uncle was eaten by cannibals, that he started the civil rights movement. There is a hypocrisy in the media today, and I would like to see that the American people know and recognize the difference, that they want leaders who actually will go forward and give them a way that they can elect people who want to represent them and fight for them.
Governor, that's a very good point, and I'm not deliberately trying to be adversarial. Donald Trump winning in November is very important.
Yes, it is.
And I think that whoever he chooses to be his running mate, and again, I think at one point you were at the top of that list, but you're going to get questions a lot more difficult than that.
The thing that's very interesting to me is the only person who will decide is Donald Trump. He will decide, and he knows that I think he should pick the person that will help him win. That is my one parameter. When he was in the White House, I was on offense every day. I got to solve problems for the people of South Dakota. I got to, you know, think out of the box and be innovative. Now with Joe Biden in the White House, all I am is on defense. So I will tell you that the one thing that President Trump knows for a fact is that I want him to win and that I want him to pick the person that will help him win because America needs him in the White House.
You seem surprised when Rob said that he didn't see you on the short list anymore. Mm-hmm. Are you still on that short list? Have you talked to him about being his vice president?
I talked to President Trump a lot. I talk to him a lot, and I think the world of him, and he knows that, and I've always supported him.
Are in line to be Trump's vice president?
No, it's up to Donald Trump. He's the only person who will decide this. He's the only person who will decide. And I spoke. Yes, I do speak to him.
May I ask what he said to you about being vice president?
No, I never tell anybody my personal conversations.
Did the dog story come up
in
your conversation with
Trump? I talk to President Trump all the time.
About the dog?
About a lot of things. And right now, I tell you what, he is being persecuted in a political hunt, witch hunt in this court case. So I'm proud of him about how tough he is and how well he is doing.
Did you bring up
the
dog?
Yes, enough. Stewart, this interview is ridiculous.
Trump.
What you were doing right now.
I don't think so.
Need to stop. It is.
Okay.
It is. Let's talk about some real topics that Americans care about.
I'm afraid we're out of time.
Oh well, of course we are.
We do thank you for being with us.
Right.
I know I pressed hard, but that's what people are talking about to this day.
Yeah.
Governor Noem, thanks for joining us.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate it.
Kristi Noem's team told her to nix the dog story 2 years ago, from Politico. Let's listen in.
The article we're discussing today is about South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem's memoir, where a story about her killing her dog was dropped from earlier drafts due to concerns that would damage her political brand.
In the story, Noem leads a 14-month-old wire-haired pointer named Cricket to a gravel pit and shoots him after he ruined a pheasant hunt and killed a neighbor's chickens. It was supposed to demonstrate her decisive nature, but many saw it as a distasteful anecdote.
Noem's first book, Not My First Rodeo Lessons from the Heartland, was a typical pre-campaign book that hit the New York Times bestseller list. The book did not include the dog story, and it did not stir up any major controversies.
But in her second book, No Going Back, published by Hachette's conservative-leaning Center Street, Noem included the dog story. The book's fact-checking has also been questioned, with one passage claiming that she met the dictator of North Korea during her time in Congress, a meeting that didn't actually happen.
Her spokesperson later stated that the publisher will be addressing conflated world leaders' names before its release. There has been a significant backlash due to these controversies, with social media mockery and numerous headlines criticizing Noem.
Despite this, Noem has stuck to her brand. She defended her decision to kill the dog as an example of tough decisions made on the farm and compared it to Joe Biden's failure to act after his own dog attacked Secret Service staffers.
All these controversies have drastically affected the reception of Noem's new book. However, it has given us an interesting look into the world of pre-campaign memoirs and how political branding can often conflict with creating engaging content.
The campaign book's genre has often been criticized for its lack of quality control or literary drama. But the success of a campaign book is more about selling a candidate than pushing literary boundaries.
Now, Noem's new book is highlighting how important quality control is in campaign books. The various controversies surrounding No Going Back might serve as a reminder that quality still matters in political memoirs.
Despite all this, we'll see if the controversy around Noem's new book will make it more interesting to readers or damage her political career when the book comes out this Tuesday.
That's it for today.